days in which we're living, as the devil roams about, seeking whom he may discourage, sowing seeds of fear and doubt. We must get back to the basics to defend against the foe. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope.
Believe the book from beginning to the end. Claim the blood, the only covering for your sin. The blessed hope, our Lord is coming back again. We need the book, the blood, and the blessed hope.
Other words will not stop Satan from attacking what God said. Your self-improvement will not keep him from uncovering your own sin. Though reform will only make you doubt, our Lord will come again.
It takes the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Believe the book from beginning to the end. Claim the blood, the only covering for your sin. The blessed hope, our Lord is coming back again. We need the book, the blood, and the blessed hope.
Believe the book.
I believe the book from beginning to the end.
Claim the
blood. Yes, I'll claim the blood, the only covering for your sin.
The blessed hope.
Blessed hope. He's coming back again.
We need the book.
We need the blood.
We need the blessed.
Israel's deliverer, divider of the sea, the conqueror of Jericho, Jehovah set them free.
Some think of these as fables with no relevance today,
but God's past power never passed away. The great I am still is. He's the merciful Almighty, forever holding. In everything we must remember this, the great I am still is.
To all the walking wounded ones who seek to make things right, for stranded souls in darkness who long to see the light, for those who tread a troubled road and feel they can't go on, there's a promise we can stand upon. The great I am still is. The heavens and the earth are His. He's the merciful Almighty, forever holding. In everything we must remember this, the great I am still is.
Can stand in every test.
For the great I am still is.
I can lose it all and still be blessed.
For the great I am still is.
I'm a sinner saved by grace because
the great I am still is. And I'm not today what I once was. For the great I am still is.
the great I am still is. The heavens and the earth are His. He's the merciful Almighty, forever holding in everything we must remember.
Yes, the great I am.
Yes, the great I am still is. He still is.
Yes, the Lord is risen today.
I'm not worried in my soul where this old world may go or what I see on the news today. I'm not weeping with regret. I've chosen not to fret about this ever-changing world and its ways.
But I've put my attention on the heavenly intervention that brought me out of darkness into the light. It's not mind over matter. It's more than worthless chatter. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ.
I still have a Bible, my guide to survival, that's brought me to this place. I still believe the Christian old-time convictions are the answer for this world today. Old saints are still praying, old sinners who are straying are receiving God's saving grace. Yes, the old rugged cross is still saving the lost. Thank God some things never change.
God's word is still moving across the nations and proving that He is still the same today. There's not a different approach. It remains as He wrote, and it can't be explained away.
They say my convictions and religious addictions must all be rearranged. But I've been on my knees and God reassures me that some things never change.
I still have a Bible, my guide to survival, that's brought me to this place. I still believe the Christian old-time convictions are the answer for this world today. Old saints are still praying. Old sinners who are straying are receiving God's saving grace. Yes, the old rugged cross is still saving the lost. Thank God some things never change.
Old saints are still praying. Old sinners who are straying are receiving God's saving grace.
Yes, the old rugged cross is still saving the lost. Thank God some things never change. Yes, the old rugged cross is still saving the lost. Saving the lost. Thank God some things never change.
Thank you.
with me and talks with me. Her word was in the wind. He lends ovation to him. Bless me now, I know he lives. Something in my heart. Joys rejoice in the strength of my voice and sound. Eternal hallelujah. Jesus Christ the King.
Good morning and happy Easter. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for your sun rising on the third day. Lord, we can't wait to see what you're going to do today and the rest of this week. Lord, we ask that you be with the services today and bless and provide what needs to be given, Lord. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and turn to 359. Christ the Lord is risen today. 359.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Son of man and angel say, Alleluia. Praise the joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Singing heavens and earth reply, lived again our gracious King, hallelujah. Where, O death, is now thy sting, hallelujah. Dying once, death is, soar we now where Christ hath led, alleluia. Falling our exalted head, alleluia. Made like him and we rise, the grave, the sky, hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to 362. 362. Christ arose.
Christ Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his fame to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed. Jesus, my Savior, vainly they sealed the den. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, ma'am. Hard singing with a stuffy nose. Whew. All right, glad everybody could be here today. Hope everybody that was here enjoyed the breakfast and had their photos taken. I'm sure pastor's going to do that after church too, for those that didn't make it this morning. Wednesday, April 28th, Bible preaching and prayer at, not 28th, 8th, sorry. A Bible preaching and prayer at 7 p.m. at Patch Club. April 10th, teen and college activity. They're going to Cheney for pizza and bowling, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. The cost will be $5. Please be at the church at 6 p.m. April 11th, Saturday, bus visitation, church-wide operation saturation and soul winning at 10 a.m. Thank you, Leah. April 19th, Teen Supper and Silent Auction fundraiser at 4:45 and dessert at the conclusion of the auction in the PM service. Sunday, May 10th, Mother's Day, special music message and a gift for all the mothers. And we'll have the Lone Star Baptist College Singing Group will be with us that evening service also. Yep, and if you don't have a bulletin, they're on the table in the hallway. And please remember the people in the back. They always, everybody needs prayer. All yours, Will, Father.
Adam.
Good, good.
Good morning. Resurrection Sunday. It's one of my favorite. Of course, we know the Sunday, that's why we come to worship on Sundays, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We always worship on Sunday, but this is a special one. Last Wednesday was the starting of the Passover in the Jewish ceremonies and the things that the Jews do, Passover is very important. That's when they remember how Moses delivered them from Egypt, and they had the Passover, very important for the Jewish celebrations. Even during the time of Christ, during this week that they have, we call Passion Week now, during this week, many things were happening relating to the Passover. This morning, we're going to be in Luke's Gospel. That's where we're always at, it seems like. But we're not going to be in chapter 4, chapter 5. We're going to skip back a few chapters. We're going to go to chapter 24. Just going to leap over 20 of them for just today. Okay? And so here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, we're going to be looking at some things that happened on the first day of the week. Some things that happened on the first day of the week. And so I'll get my notes out here, which is always good to have with me, even if I don't use them. But anyway, before we get into the lesson this morning, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we serve a risen Savior. Lord, you're not dead. You're alive, very much alive today. Father, we're so thankful that we have a great God that loves us so much. Lord, that you show us your grace and your mercy every day. You have special blessings laid up for us every day. Lord, we're just thankful that we serve a risen Savior. Father, I pray that you just be with us this morning as we look into the scriptures and we study the things that you've given us. Father, I ask that you would just bless our meeting here today, this morning. I pray that you be with the pastor as he's prepared his message. And I know, Lord, he has a message for us. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us guidance and direction in the things we do. We ask, Lord, that you would open our ears that we might be able to hear your word. But Lord, more than that, Lord, open our hearts that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and in the hearts of each and every one of us here today, boys and girls, men and women. Father, I just pray that we would be open, that we'd be able to hear that word today. Father, I just give you the honor and the glory and the praise now, for we ask it all in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Here in Luke chapter 24, it starts out there in verse 1, says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they that were came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which had been prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away in the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood in white shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the ground, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how that he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchres and told these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Jonah and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. And then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves and departed, and wondering himself at which was to come to pass. And so we see here the first scene that we see here, and also it's mentioned this is not just once or twice in the scriptures. This is in every book of the gospel. It talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Very important in the gospel of Matthew chapter 28, in Mark's gospel chapter 16, John chapter 20. All these things talk about the resurrection. It happened. Every one of these writers of the gospel, through the inspiration of God, put it in the Word of God and made it very important. But you know, that wasn't all that happened that day. That wasn't the only things that happened. We're going to read here a little bit more. We're going to be looking at this portion of Scripture this morning. It talks about some men here in verse 13, and it says, "Behold, two men went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs." Now, furlong, you know how long a furlong is? It's 220 yards. You know the reason why I know that? Because I looked it up. But I just don't keep those facts in my mind. But anyway, 220 yards. I remember in high school, the longest sprint I could run was 220 yards. I mean, I love to run the 100-yard dash. I love to run the 75-yard dash. 220 yards, it was a pretty good dash for me. It was the only problem with when I ran, I always ran not breathing. I held my breath and shot down the road. I could do that for about 30 seconds, and by that time, I'd be passing out. But anyway, when I'm thinking about this, it tells us here was 60 furlongs. So 60 furlongs times 220, you know, approximately, I figured it's about 4 miles. So I think something like that. I'm not sure. I hadn't done all the mathematics on that. But it wasn't very far away. But it was a trip that they were taking. And, of course, it was the first day of the week, and they could travel further than they could on the Sabbath day. But they were traveling a little bit further there. And it said here it was three. And also, where was Emmaus? Emmaus, Jerusalem is where everything was taking place there. Emmaus was north of Jerusalem and west. So it was a little northwest of Jerusalem. So that's where they went, if you're thinking of it in your mind. And of course, in the scriptures always say they went down, because everything from Jerusalem is down. But it was northwest is the directions where they were going. And the Bible tells us here in verse 14, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened." There was a buzz going on. You know, it's kind of like even this week, we had kind of a buzz going on. Things are happening. The rocket ship took up. What was the name of it? I forgot. Anyway, the astronauts are heading to the moon and going around to Artemis. Yeah, I just thought of it. Artemis, they're going around the moon and all that. You know what? There are a lot of people talking about those things. I mean, it's on the news. And, of course, Iran and all the situation going on over there, people are talking about it. There's a lot of buzz going around. I think this is what happened as these guys were walking down the road here, and they were going to Emmaus. And the interesting thing here is I'm going to go to the end of the story here, but I don't know. Scripture never tells us why they were going there. I kind of found that funny as I finished reading it. But anyway, so they were on their road to Emmaus here, and as they were going, they were talking. There was things that were going on, and they were communicating. And verse 16 says, let's back up to verse 14. "And they were talking together of these things that had happened." Verse 15, "And it came to pass that while they were communicating together and reasoning," in other words, they were talking about it, "Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Verse 16 is interesting. "But their eyes were holding that they should not know him." Now, it's amazing. At this first day of the week, when Jesus first met the first person, we find in Mark chapter 16, let's turn over there real quick. Mark chapter 16, in this portion of Scripture, he's going to meet with Mary Magdalene in the scripture. And as he's there, and it says, and when it was the Sabbath day, it was passed, Mary Magdalene, that means it's the first day of the week, because the Sabbath day is passed. And it says, Mary Magdalene and her and Mary, the, and it says earlier in the morning, they were there, and which relates also with the other. But here in the, a little bit further down in the scripture, it says that Jesus met Mary. I think that, not, it's not Mark, it's John's gospel, excuse me. It's the other side of Luke. John's gospel, chapter 20. I even got it marked in my Bible. Anyway, John's gospel, chapter 20 here, and verse verse 11, John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 11, it says, "And Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the foot where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they've laid him. And when she and when she had thus said, she turned herself and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And these guys, as they were going down the road, here Jesus comes up to them and starts communicating with them, and they didn't know him. It's amazing that they, you know, you would have thought they would have known who it was. You know, I think sometimes there's a lot of things we don't see. We don't see. There's things that go on in our life. I think it was one of the missionaries that was here not long ago talk about the blind man. He received his sight, and all of a sudden he was able to see, and the Lord asked him what he saw, and he saw a man as trees, you know. And I believe that God, he has a way of controlling what we see sometimes. And in this particular thing, time, and also with Mary, in chapter 20 here in John's gospel, as he was talking to her, and she thought him to be a gardener, and in verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary, when she heard his name, when Jesus said her name, she recognized who he was. She didn't recognize him by sight. She recognized him by hearing. So that's important, because it's very important that we hear what God says and what he says. So it identified her, and she knew immediately when she heard her name, she knew who it was that was talking to her. And so that's there. These guys are going along here in Luke chapter 24 again back there. And their eyes were holding that they should not know him. In other words, they didn't know who it was that was talking with him. And it says, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? I noticed that the Lord noticed something about their countenance. He knew something about they were sad. They were saddened over the things that they were talking about there. The Savior, the one, and they're going to explain it here. Might as well read on a little bit further and let the Bible explain it. One of them, whose name was Caiaphas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Don't you know what's going on in these days? It's all a buzz, you know. Everybody's here talking about it. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deeds and word, before God and all the people. And they, in other words, they were explaining to him This was Jesus of Nazareth. They knew who they were talking about, and he was a mighty prophet. They looked at him as a mighty prophet. Indeed, the things that he did, the miracles that came from him and the things that he did, and his word. Notice that in the scriptures there it says word, singular. He was, I believe, that word is the gospel. And he's they're talking about that. And it says word before God and all people. And they knew that he was doing the things that God had called him to do, that wanted him to do. And not only was God pleased with him. Many times we know in the scriptures, we know that the Lord has said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." God was pleased with what Jesus did when he was here upon the earth. And people knew that. They knew he was a man sent from God. And then and these things that he did. And he said, it says in verse 20, "And the chief and our chief priests and our rulers delivered him into condemnation to death and have crucified him." Have crucified him. And they are telling him what happened here and all that. And verse 21 says, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." They didn't see him. That's talking about Peter. He's talking about there in verse 12 of that same chapter. Peter ran down there and seen this. Of course, we know in the Gospel of John, we can find out John was also there. And so, matter of fact, in Gospel of John, John was the first one in there. John stopped at the door. Peter went inside. And, you know, I always liked that because John wanted to make sure that everybody knew he was first. He outran Peter. And, you know, it's just a contest. But anyway, they got down there first. They saw it. And they had looked into the tomb, and they weren't there. Caiaphas, the man that's telling all these things. It's interesting, as you look back in John's Gospel chapter 14, you can find out that his wife's name was Mary, and she was one of the Marys that went down to the tomb and seen this. So I'm sure that when he's talking about that, he's excited because his wife has told him these things. And I think he believed his wife and that something really was going on. And so they didn't find the body, and the apostles went down there, didn't see the body. And so they're bewildered there. What happened? They don't understand exactly what happened. But it was the third day, and these things had been told to him. Now we find in verse 25, it says, "And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" The Bible tells us right here, Jesus corrects the situation. He doesn't want them to be sad. He wants them to be glad. Something has happened here. Amazing thing. He's rose from the grave. And so as they're sitting, as they are here talking to him, as it goes on here, it says in verse 27, "And he began with Moses." You know what he was talking about? Moses. Moses and wrote in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 11 there, talks about the Passover. And he's going to begin explaining to them how important the Passover is in this portion of scripture. Matter of fact, yesterday Philip, when in our Bible, in our visitation. He gave a devotion on this and did a very good job of that. And so it starts here, I believe he started with Moses for a reason, to tell him about the Passover. It was that on the 10th day of the month, they would take a lamb of the first month. 10th day of the first month was Nisene on their calendar. And that happens to be April. And so, but it was on the 10th day of the month. They took the lamb, they held it back for 4 days and made sure that it was pure and all those things. And then on the 14th day of the month, they offered that lamb. There are a lot of things that can be explained there, even through the crucifixion and all these things. And so the Lord is explaining that. He explained it to them. Not only did the Bible says here that he expounded to them from the prophets and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He's telling them all these things about what the prophecy that was fulfilled. I believe he went and talked to them about Isaiah 53. Verses 1 through 5 that talks about the suffering that he's going to do. Look at Isaiah for just a minute. Isaiah 53. And verse 1 says, Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with griefs, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, for he was despised and esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Can you imagine there on the road of Emmaus, these men, and all of a sudden Jesus starts talking to them about the Passover and how the lamb was going to be slain, and they knew the story. The blood was going to be upon the lintel, the sides, and the post, the lintel and the post, and the blood was going to be there. And as the death angel passed by that night, all those that didn't have the blood, the firstborn was going to die, and they knew the story. And he was able to explain that. Then he took them to Isaiah, I believe, 53, and told them that someone was going to suffer and was going to die and do this, and that was going to be the Messiah. The Messiah was going to do this. And I like verse 10 in chapter in Isaiah 53. It tells us down here, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God, that was God's plan. God had a plan. The Bible tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 1, that the Word was made flesh. That's chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. Verse 1 in John 1 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's not it. I'll get it. Sometimes the words come out a little mixed. In the beginning, if I could start in the beginning, I'd get it right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and it says the Word was made flesh. God himself was made flesh. He took upon himself the form of flesh and became obedient even to the death of the cross. And so to these men here on the road to Emmaus, he's talking to them and telling them, and he starts right there with those things. And it says in verse 28 of 24, it says, and they drew nigh unto the village where they went. and he made as though that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. Verse 31, and their eyes were open. It's amazing. The words of God, I believed as he was told them about all the things that happened in the Passover and what Isaiah had said about what Christ would do. And we know in Psalms, matter of fact, maybe Caiaphas' wife, I can imagine this a little bit, came because she was there at the cross also. In John chapter 19, we can read that. But she was at the cross also. And she may have heard him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he could have took him to Psalms 22, verse 1, and said the same words. That was Old Testament. That was the Old Testament. It had not been there. Matter of fact, at the time that the writing of Isaiah and of Psalms 22, they didn't even know of a crucifixion. That was not a way of capital punishment. God already knew how his son was going to die. He already knew how he was going to go to the cross, shed his blood, and die for us. And so their eyes were opened here, and all of a sudden they realized that it was Jesus that had been speaking with him. And the Bible says, and he the last part of that verse says, and he vanished out of their sight. And then I believe the amazing part of this, one of the things that I believe it's important that we understand. Their words burned in their heart. It said the next verse, and says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? I believe it's important, men and women, that we realize when we get into the scriptures, they need to burn in us. And one of the things I enjoy most in my day is when I can get alone with the scriptures with God, and I can read until I know his word is burning in my heart, that I know his word is true. And he was able to take those things that was Old Testament and show them systematically, I believe, and was able to show them that he was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the one that was sent. And it said here in this verse that as they did this, there it says that they talked one to another, and he said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And as they were going, and he was telling them all those things that was going to happen, and that they now seen happen. They seen how he was rejected priest and the high priest, and all these people rejected him. They turned their back on him, and that wouldn't have been known until that Passion Week, when Jesus went through the suffering that he did, and he was rejected. Matter of fact, one of his own disciples, betrayed him, and so he was rejected. And as they heard those words, it burned in their hearts. I believe it's important as we read the scriptures that we read it in a way that allow God to touch our hearts, touches our hearts, and I believe this is what happened. Matter of fact, it burned in their hearts so much that the next verse says in verse 33, and they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. They knew it. They believed it. They knew that he had risen indeed. And then in verse 36, we see here in chapter 24, and it says, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. As they were going to Emmaus, they were sad. They were upset of all those things. But Jesus came along and helped them to get above their sadness and realize that he came to change their lives, open their eyes that they might see, that they might, their ears might be opened, that they might hear the word of God. It's important that we open our eyes to the things that are around us and allow God to show us. You know, I once was blind, but now I see. It only happened when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. The things, the Word of God, you know, when a person's lost, they can read the Bible all they want and they're not going to understand it. You got to have the working of the Holy Spirit. God's got to be able to work in your life and allow the words to burn into your heart. And their lives have changed. And now, here's in the upper room here, or in the room where they were all gathered, here's Jesus coming in and telling them, peace be unto you. He wants them to have peace. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in this world, and we don't have peace about it. There's a lot of things. Every day in our life, there's things that can come up and bring dissension and bring all kinds of problems. But God tells us to have a peace. Jesus, matter of fact, tells us to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The Apostle Paul wrote that. So we need to have that peace in our lives. Paul, if you look in the life of Paul, he had a lot of problems. A lot of things happened. Every one of us have problems and things, but we can still have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And that's what the Lord was telling him, that they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they were had seen a spirit. They thought that he was just a spirit, and they were very afraid of the situation when Jesus came in the room. Verse 38 says, and he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me, see, for the spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. And then when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not, amazing, standing right here in front of them, yet they believed not, for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And he sits down here, and it says, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he did take it and did eat before them. And so they seen that he was human, and they were seeing him in his body, and he said, and he was there at this time. And so we see, let's read down through the end of this. In verse 44 says, and he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Now, these things that he had already spoken, he had told them that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Like I said, and when he was going down the road to Emmaus, that's exactly what I believe he was telling these guys. And now he's telling it to his disciples. Believe Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. That's what we need when we're reading the Word of God, is to allow God to open our understanding. There's some things we, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of things I read in the Word of God, and I have to take notes on it because I don't understand that. And you know what? I find out when I look through it and find it, and read it over again and keep reading it, maybe not understanding it, but one day the Holy Spirit will give you, it will open your eyes and you will understand more by and by. Songwriter said that, I think. But anyway, so we will understand. And he says in verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And it goes on, and verse 49 says, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power of on high. So this is where he's telling them, stay here in Jerusalem, wait the 40 days, the Holy Spirit's going to come and empower you, empower you. It's amazing. This is the Gospel of Luke. He has all this. And then what Luke does, he writes the book of Acts. And he starts out in the book of Acts in chapter 1, starting right in the very beginning chapters here. He starts out saying, he's talking to his disciples. And so verse 7 says, and he said, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in my hands, in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Same Luke, he's writing this in the gospel, and he's telling them again in Acts that these things are the truth. And so we have here this morning on that first resurrection day, all these things happen. God wanted to open their eyes that they might be able to see and understand and know the power of God. He took upon himself the form of flesh and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Well, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful. We look forward, Lord, to the message that the pastor has for us. I ask that, Lord, you'd hide him behind the cross, Lord, that you might be lifted up and glorified. Father, I ask that you be with each one of us. Lord, help us to do those things, to get into the Word of God and see how powerful it is for our everyday life. Lord, you meet our needs every day. There's times when you tell us to be still and know that I'm God. And Lord, sometimes we don't want to be still, and sometimes we don't do exactly what you want us to do. But Lord, you're there to help us, to give us guidance and direction. We're thankful for your word, which is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing you into dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, so powerful is your word. I pray that it would burn within us today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.